the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio Program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 10th, 2015. Folks, hear the shofar? Hear the sound of that shofar. Heed the warning that it puts out. Because soon, folks, that's going to be blowing in the heavens. We don't know the day or the hour, but it is coming, my dear brothers and sisters. And with Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after the program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you can call me for that also. It's all about getting right with Yeshua. I'm not predicting it's the end of the world today, tomorrow, or next week, but what I am telling you, it's going to come upon you in such a rush fashion if you don't get right. You know, and that extends to where that if you just see, you could step out in front of a truck. Or like I did last week, I took my wife for a motorcycle ride and you know what? I almost had a wreck and, you know, we could have both been dead. It could have came upon us in a moment. Yeah, I got a skinned up knee and a skinned up elbow, but the point is we could have both been dead. And if we wouldn't have been right with our Father, then it would have came upon us just as well a thief. It would have come upon us. And then we would, once your death happens, it's all up to Yeshua. You can do nothing to change it. You need to change your life now. You need to get right now. You could come, you could tomorrow have cancer and it take over you. And I've seen cancer kill people in a matter of days, if not weeks. So, pray about it. Get yourself right. So if you need a prayer, you can call me for that. If you get the machine, leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. And here's another way that you can get prayer requests to me. Simply send me an email with your home phone number on it, of course, so I can call you back. But you can also include your name and address, and the contents of that I will take, print it out, take it to the Mission Church, and after service, we will anoint it with oil. Well, during service, during the prayer time, we'll anoint it with oil. And we'll pray on it and lay hands on it, and we will mail the letter back to you at no cost to you. So pray about that. But the phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And in an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find the updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. Yeah, you can put the www in front of it, might make it work a little better, but if you Google prophecyhour.com, you're going to find our blog site, which is like a hub for everything else that we do. Speaking of which, there's a link over there to End Time Radio Program Archives, and so that's where our radio archives are at. You can listen on smartphone. You can listen by satellite. You can listen by radio. Check it out. Go to prophecyhour.com. Now, prayer, and I'll bring on our guests, but I still challenge you to share our radio programs with at least two or three others. And I ask each and every one of you that if you are blessed by this radio program, pray about a few dollars as a donation. We have so many listeners, a few dollars per listener would make a big difference. But you can never get people to do that. While you have thousands upon thousands of people listening, only a small, small few actually donate. But anyway, everybody thinks radio is free. Of course, airtime is it, time is it, so on and so forth. But I don't care. I do this out of the heart to warn you because I'm worried about you. I'm praying and weeping for things that are to come. Prayer now. Bring on our guest. Let him talk. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, and surely not mine, and surely not our guest's will. But Father, we pray that it's according to your will so it glorifies you and doesn't glorify the world. So please give us all ears in which to hear the truth and make discernment. In your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest was on our program last week, Prophecy Hour, as you know, that comes an hour after this program. I felt that he had really not finished with much of what he was trying to say. So much is supposed to be happening soon, and that's supposed to fall in, which is supposed to fall in line with the Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah, which is September 14th, which, of course, it starts at dark on the 13th as the day changes at dark in our Father's eyes and not at 12 midnight. Feast of Trumpets is a good thing to do because we believe that it not only is it will signal the start of the Great Tribulation, but that it will also blow the trumpet, the seventh and last trumpet. It's a representation of that when Yeshua will return to the earth at the last trump of Yahweh. Okay. Our guest tonight is a Korean Army veteran, and he served us. And I said that. Yeah, he's a Korean Army veteran. He's traveled the country as an evangelist, and there's so much more to the story, which you can find at his website, which is SureWordOfProphecy.org. That is also the name of his ministry, Sure Word of Prophecy. So check him out, and his name is, I'd have a drum roll, but I don't have a drum, Steve Henderson. Welcome, Steve. Are you with me?
A drum roll, eh?
Yeah.
Hey, grace and peace to you, Pastor Dan.
Yeah.
Thanks for your invitation.
Yeah, amen. I think I'm going to get me one of them little wind-up monkeys, you know, that has a little drum. You know, I'll use that for certain guests. You know, maybe I need a duck quack, you know, because the people don't seem to be well, I'm frustrated, brother, because people don't seem to be listening to the warning sound of the shofar in the sense. And I'm not talking about all this great list of things that seems to go on for, I don't know, website after website, page after page. That is supposed to be coming, but the clear things that we can see out there that are happening in our country and around the world. And it's just frustrating that Christians aren't waking up. I'll get off my soapbox here in a second, but just as they let this woman is the first of many that spent 6 days in jail because she refused to have her name on a marriage license. You know, what is next? Are they going to be arresting pastors? Are they going to be arresting Christian teachers? Who is going to be arrested next? And when is the church going to open their mouth? I've said now all I want to say, except that I love you, brother, and I'm turning the program over to you. Be blessed. I'm just here.
Well, dear brother, love you, and I deeply appreciate your program. It's just so exciting to know that there's some that are watchmen and are taking a good look at what's going on around them and blowing the shofar, right? So deeply appreciate you, brother, and your invitation today. And, well, brother, here we are, and another week closer to the avalanche of predictions and events culminating into what some say is the apocalypse. Others say the secret rapture. Others say it's the evaporation of the stock market. Now an asteroid is bringing total devastation this month to Puerto Rico, causing a huge earthquake and a tsunami. The Great Tribulation starts, and the list goes longer and gets longer every week that we... even since we talked. And
just a question. What are all these, you know, I can laugh because I know not all these things are going to happen and near the way that they were originally predicted, but what are all these folks going to do next week when, you know, it's relatively calm?
Well, this is why I'm deeply concerned, because this pattern has happened many times before. And I think that when we enter into this time, brother, we need to enter in with extreme caution and discernment. Now, there's no doubt that we're entering a period of very troublous times. Just yesterday's news, Russia sending troops into Syria. You know, Iran, Israel, and U.S. are heading toward a major confrontation. There's just no doubt in my mind about it. The migration crisis hitting Europe is unlike anything we've ever seen. Hundreds of thousands are fleeing their homelands to try to find safety from the massive murderous intent of evil regimes. ISIS is sending their jihadists into these massive migration masses furthering their plans to dominate Europe and the West, and they do plan on doing that and are making, they've already caught some ISIS inside some of the migration. So now we're resolved to bring many of these refugees over here to America. I think we can see where all this is heading. And, you know, last week we spoke of some of the things that, were listed on the list of everything that would happen. And I'd like to review just a couple of points for a moment, because I think they're worth noting for those who may not have heard your program. Last week, we discussed the Pope's visit and his address in the Congress and the UN. Brother, I don't know about you, but I'm fully convinced that a foundation and strategy is being shared with the world body for a very good reason. We're heading somewhere with this. And out of this plan, it appears that a new global governance will be laid out. I've been looking at the Agenda 2030 here. I don't know if you've checked that out much, but pretty eye-opening stuff. And it all sounds good on the surface. And as I understand, the mark of the beast will be a pretty good thing. It's not going to come across as something evil, but something that's going to save a lot of people. It sounds very plausible and the expedient to request and demand a governance regarding you know, the environment and the poor being taken care of and putting a stop to war and the immigration crisis caused by it, and et cetera, et cetera. And the world recognizes that if we don't collectively make significant changes, our Earth is on the path of ruin. And we know of the coming beast system the prophets have warned us of. At some point, some are going to step up to the plate and introduce a plan. And in my estimation, the Pope is a perfect candidate to help pull all of this together and unite the secular with the religious leaders. The statehood of Palestine is getting much more momentum, sir, brother. And, hey, how about today's news? Netanyahu in United Kingdom says he is ready for peace talks right now. That is the headline in Times of Israel today. Wow. What created change so quick? It said that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had Thursday told his UK counterpart that he's ready for peace talks with the Palestinians without preconditions, and he is ready to start talking immediately. Brother, this is huge. Why the sudden change? And will he really be willing to divide Jerusalem? You know, this is pretty heavy-duty stuff that we see, I mean, unfolding, and it seems to be unfolding rather rapidly.
Let me throw something into that. That's also odd that the Sanhedrin today, in at least the news, I got it today from Breaking News Israel, which, folks, you should check that site out.
Yeah.
That's Breaking News Israel. They were talking about how the Sanhedrin they did something more than condemn. They condemned the Pope, and they also condemned Obama, you know, with a joint, I guess it's resolution's not the right word for it, but they came in condemnation of both of them. And, you know, that seems odd timing with a Palestinian state and Netanyahu then saying he's willing to talk without precondition. But, you know, back to you.
Well, it's all shaping up, brother. You know it. I know it. And I just hope that everyone else grabs a hold of it pretty quick and gets ready and bunkers down. You know, as I was reflecting this last week about this month and the rhetoric that's going on and some of the hype, and, you know, it reminded me of a time called Y2K, when there was an enormous amount of predicting and presumptions about how Judgment Hour was going to take place, and it was imminent. You remember some of the sensationalism connected to this overinflated hype about the first day of year 2000, brother? Remember the predictions, the presumptions, and thousands who propagated that the probability was imminent? Were quite aware of that, huh?
I'm going to have to say something about that. Y2K not. Now, you know, I think it was a good fix, but let me go with this. It was a real blessing to Messiah's branch, because let me tell you what, to this day, mind you, brother, and it's 2015, to this day, I am still getting donations of people that are on my mailing list that know me, that are bringing in dehydrated food that's still plenty good, you know, vegetables and all kinds of things that we rehydrate and we add it to the meals and serve the people. So we're still using Y2K food. But in the same light, you know, I have to also feel that I pray for each one of those people that bring it in, because they bring it in with the attitude of, oh, I don't want it to go to waste, that they'll never use it. I do believe that people do need to have food stored up, at least a year's supply, and a couple of bags of stuff if you have to hit the road. Back to you.
Well, yes, the sky is falling, and people have heard it so long, they no longer believe the sky is falling. And the wolf has cried wolf one too many times, and you know, I don't see anything unreasonable. In fact, Noah being warned of God of the impending judgment made an ark for the preparing of his household. So there's nothing wrong with making preparations if you see these things approaching. And at the time they are giving away their foodstuffs, and I know that's going to benefit your ministry, but I think that they're making a mistake in giving it all away, because I think it should be the time that we ought to be taking a good hard look at especially the economic situation that we're looking at this particular moment. However, I want to just kind of take you back into history a moment and give you a couple of statements that just mirror, reflect this attitude that we have here in September 2015. This computer genius, back in just before 2000 hit, said, it speculated this: your electricity goes off, phones aren't working, the computer at your local bank crashes, police and 911 are nowhere to be found, Social Security checks will stop coming, planes will be grounded, credit card charges will be rejected, military defense systems will fail, the Federal Reserve will be unable to clear checks, and your employer will go out of business. Then you had the bankers jump on board, and William McDonald, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, warned, the failure to get Y2K right will affect the integrity of the payment system, financial markets, and the domestic and the global economies. Arthur Gross, chief information officer of the IRS, said, failure to achieve compliance with the year 2000 will jeopardize our way of life on this planet and for some time to come. Then we have all the newspapers and media that leaped on this, and London Sunday Times made an article, and I'd like to quote just a little bit of it. It said this here concerning 2000. This is not a prediction. It is a certainty. There will be a serious disruption in the world's financial services, a millennium-induced crash of the world's stock markets around the middle of 1999. But this is not a normal market. In light of the historic Y2K or year 2000 computer crisis, the complacency, blindness, and greed of the stock orgy has been nothing short of astonishing. The vessel is now out of control, and the SS Dow panic is recklessly into overdrive. But the Dow panic, speaking of the Dow Jones market, is racing headlong into an obstruction it cannot avoid. Y2K is now less than 6 months away. The general public has dismissed warnings that this epical event may be considerably more than the trivial weekend glitch of bubble blowers, which would have them believe this. Yet Wall Street and Bay Street continue to pump air into the stock balloon, singing the calming refrain, Y2K, okay. Brother, and I know, as you're aware here, many of the so-called prophets and TV preachers jumped on this bandwagon and used this enormous hype to gain a lot of money through books, television speaking engagements, video specials, and was quoting some Bible to back it up. In fact, I remember one, several, talking about how the world was 6,000 years old and each day is a year, and so we're at the 6,000th year, and now the year 2000 will switch into the 7th day, or the millennium, which would represent the 1,000 years of rest and peace. And there were more than just a few who grabbed a hold of this and were teaching this to their trusting flocks. You know, and for me, I believe that, you know, there are scriptures there, and there are some that you have to reflect on, but to take them out of their context and then put them into a certain time period, you got to be very careful with that. In an article reflecting on the Y2K, post-Y2K, a writer points out some things that I think we need to take a look at. For those who want to jump on the bandwagon without checking out things very seriously, this article said, millennial cults, extremist group, and racial ideologies this year are bringing their assorted baggage to the Y2K happening. The heightened expectations of the year 2000, mixed together with the widely reported possibility of computer meltdown, have generated a barrage of predictions and historical propaganda from those of the farthest fringes of society. While not all these groups are for explicit action, many of their followers are hoping, expecting, or preparing for the worst. And we can only hope that these people will not act rashly or violently on their fears and their expectations. And we know that religious figures posed as experts on a subject and predicted the collapse of society, the loss of electricity, public utilities, food shortages, and equally dire scenarios are struggling to save face, he says. Not all Y2K hysteria can be blamed on the religious right, of course. Plenty of the secular-minded doomsday prophets also made fantastic predictions about the collapse of the economy and the social order. Not everyone who brought 60 pounds of freeze-dried beans and stockpile water in the basement was a far-right Christian survivalist. Brother, I have learned a long time ago, and believe this more than ever, that when you hear of a teaching which comes from a biblical concept or text, and you hear of an unusual phenomenon attached to the predictions based upon their understanding of their biblical exegesis, you need to take a serious look at the specifics, the small details, and make sure that it lines up with Yahweh's word.
Yeah,
what's
absolutely.
Your thoughts on that, brother?
Absolutely. You know what? Just a brief second on Y2K, because we're going to have to go to a break, but going back to Y2K, there, I know lots of ministries that just completely folded up. They were good ministries, and they believed it wholeheartedly. It wasn't that they were trying to dupe the people. It's just that that Y2K was sold to the public, to the general public, in a, you know, a very big way. But
yes.
We'll talk about it just a little bit more when we come back from break. Give your website real quick. We got to get out of here for 3 minutes.
Okay. SherwoodProphecy.org. You like prophecy, go on over there. You'll like it.
Okay. Folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes with more about what's maybe coming next week.
Pastor Dan will be right back. Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas 66851, or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. And we are watching things to see what is happening out there to warn you. Remember tonight, pray about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the poor people that come from all over Wichita looking for things that nobody else can give them. And we're talking about hardworking people that are trying to keep roofs over their head and have children and come looking for food, clothing, medical supplies, Bibles, prayers, you name it, they come looking for it. We don't get any help from it. You'd think that as much as that we do over there and as many people over there that says we're doing such a great job, that the organized churches over there would jump in and say, well, let's give Pastor Dan and Messiah's Branch a little helping hand. Doesn't happen that way. Over the years, we've had a few, mind you, I can count them on one hand, less than half of one hand, a few Messianic churches over the years that have came in and did things for us. We had one Christian church that for about 5 years, or took up donations for us on their December time, you know. But they took 25% of it before they gave us the check. But I'm not complaining or bemoaning and groaning. But, you know, the point is we only get help from the people that listen to us on radio or the people that read our newsletter. And those are the people that have supported us. We're in our 16th year of doing this. And think about all the thousands upon thousands of people that we've helped. You know, while not everybody can minister to the poorest of the poor, you know, when we read our Bibles, we see Yeshua walked among the sinners. We see Yeshua went out there and he fed people when he preached to them. So where was he at? He was among the sinners. He was among the poor. He was among the unchurched. And that's where we're at. Let's go like this. The Bible said that we should be Messiah-like. That means Messianic, or the English translation, which is Christian. That means being Messiah-like. So we try to do as he does. And because why? We're just trying to serve the Father. We serve the Father and his Son by serving the people. That's how we do it, by extending it one to another. And hope that the people will look at us and notice that we are different. And so when it comes time for that miracle prayer in the need of salvation, that they will come to us and they will ask. And so we can say that prayer with them and we can get them that miracle and their life will change. And so that's what it's all about, getting people ready for the time of trouble. You know, that's the other thing this ministry is about. You know, I've been doing a mail-out newsletter for 20-some years, you know, and a lot of it's newspaper articles and things that are happening around the world. And I've been mailing that out for 20 years. Now, this last year, it got hard, and we couldn't afford that. And so we just now got our first issue out since this last May, after being current every month for 20 years. So we're hoping that brings in some donations, and it did bring in some good ones, but we need to get another newsletter out. So pray about supporting the newsletter. Pray about supporting the people. Support us in what we do. There's many different things that you can back. If you don't feel like that you have the need to support the poor, well, support the radio programs. Like I said earlier in the program, you know what? These radio programs they're not free. It costs to be on the internet. It costs to pay for satellite airtime. It costs for all these things. And we're a ministry that doesn't sell anything, and we minister to the poorest of the poor. We need your help. So pray about it. We are the last hope for so many, and folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. Now, all donations, no matter what size, helps, and the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. Wow. Anyway, let's now welcome back Steve Henderson and see where we're going to go with the second half of this program. Are you there with me, Steve?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was trying to pull you. I was trying to make you think I was raptured or something.
Raptured. That's what it was.
I got a weird sense of humor. My apologies.
That's okay. I wouldn't have thought raptured, but you know what? During our break, we rebooted the radio studio, rebooted the whole system, And, you know, he probably, didn't he call you back, have to call you back?
Nope, I've been on the phone.
Okay, well, there's two separate.
Together for
anyway, the system that I was on was rebooted, and I had to wait for him to call me back. And so I wouldn't have thought Rapture. I'm just well taught. I wouldn't have thought Rapture. I would have thought, well, okay. Frank, you forgot to call him back. But Rapture, that's what's supposed to, you know.
That's what they're connecting a lot of this time with, brother. And as we spoke last week, I think that, you know, and unfortunately, I would say probably about 70%, and I think I'm being pretty conservative, about 70% of the major prophecy preachers out there, that is their deep-seated belief system that it doesn't matter what's coming because we're going to be out of here before it happens. And I'm very deeply concerned with that. And you see all over the Internet... at exactly how things are coming down and know the Bible very, very well. And so we're at the Feast of Trumpets, and the trumpets are significant. First of all, I want to point out right up front a couple of my deep-seated beliefs as we go into the rest of the discussion. For those of us who study the prophetic teachings of Scripture, we recognize that the appointed times set by Yahweh are very relevant and facts. It's very imperative that we recognize the validity and significance of the Jewish feast. And I've studied these for a long time. And if it's commanded by the Almighty, we must see them as important. And a lot of people believe they were done away in their old relics. But, you know, in the mind of Yahweh, they're very important. And several thousand years ago, on a very specific time, in the first month of 14th day, even at midnight, the destroying angel passed over Egypt, and prophetically, the lamb's blood was put over the doorpost, and it brought deliverance to his chosen ones. On the first month, 14th day, approximately 1,500 years later, Yeshua, the spotless lamb of Yahweh, hung on a cross and shed his own blood, so those who believe in him would be delivered from this body of death and not perish, but have everlasting life. So evidently, that time was exact and concise. And there are many, many times in Scripture, and Scripture, they tell that the appointed times are connected to a kingdom coming. A couple of examples of that would be after Yeshua was raised from the dead, and after he was seen by men for 40 days, he proclaimed that he was leaving, but he'd be back to reward his believers someday. The disciples asked him at that time, this is like this found in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, Master, is it at this time you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And Yeshua said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has set within his own authority. So when they were asking about the restoration of the kingdom, he connected it to times and seasons. Again, Paul alludes to the coming to Yeshua in the Day of the Lord context and connects it with times and seasons. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 and 2, he says, But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I had to rewrite this to you, for you know perfectly that the Day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Of course, anyone who has studied the book of Daniel, on several occasions, it speaks of the appointed time and connects it to the end. And, for example, Daniel 11, verse 35 says, Some of them that are wise shall fall and refine them and purify them to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for the time appointed. And with all that said, Brother Dan, I believe it's vitally important to comprehend these appointed times in order to understand the prophetic types in the Feast of Yahweh. And that's what a lot of them have done here for September. They computed and recognized that the Jewish holidays are here, and there is significance for the Feast of Trumpets, the Rosh Hashanah, or the New Year's Day, and that will be this year, the biblical year of 5776. And it begins at sunset on the 13th and 14th, September 2015, and the blowing of the trumpet typically was associated with the calling of a solemn assembly, a warning of danger, an action to be taken, or announcement not to be ignored. And I find it fascinating, brother, that the scriptures declare that before the return of our Savior Yeshua, there will be trumpet blasts that will announce to the world that indeed the hour of judgment is imminent. And today, as we speak, in many Jewish and Messianic circles, the Feast of Trumpets is celebrated with several blasts of the shofar, the ram's horn, and it's a very solemn time because it precedes the holiest day of all, which is the antitypical Day of Atonement. And in order for you and I to have a good handle on the prophetic word in the book of Revelation, a good understanding of the appointed feast are necessary. Your thoughts, brother? Are you there? Am I still on? Well, if I'm on, is anyone home? Okay, if you can hear me, or should I hang up?
Okay, are you there with me? Did we both get raptured out? Is that what the story is?
Apparently so, brother, but evidently we still have something to do. He brought us back home, so.
Well, you know, we got time for the end of the program. Well, we'll renew it, but we've got like a minute before the program. Folks, the first half of this program will definitely be put up. We'll continue on with this on another day. Any final words? And I got to get you to give your website, and we got to get out of here.
Yeah, I'd like to quote something that brother Jonathan Kahn quoted when he wrote his book, The Shemitah, and he says, I have to issue two cautions. God doesn't have to do anything according to our understanding or our timetables, nor does he have to attack as he has in the past. Nothing has to happen in a particular year of the Shemitah, but the second caution is this. He can and it could. Whether it happens during the time of the Shemitah or beyond, I believe a great shaking is coming to America and the world, one that will affect the financial realm, the economic realm, the political realm, and the nation itself. We are in the midst of a civilization that is rapidly descending into apostasy and judgment. For this reason, I have written what I've written, that we be ready, that we be right with God, and that the lost be saved. And I say wholeheartedly, amen to that, brother.
Okay, folks, you can find Steve Henderson at surewordofprophecy.org. Steve, I got to say goodbye. I got less than 30 seconds. Folks.
Okay, bless you, brother.
Folks, come back on and listen in an hour from now. I hope we'll be here for the whole program. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father Yahweh, King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.